Welcome to The New Next, a podcast that addresses current events and how they will impact the future. Co-hosted by the inquisitive public speaking champion, Mike McVeigh, and energy, economics, and technology expert, Matt Jensen. Join us as we explore all things energy, economic, tech, and political, and how they will affect our future. This is going to be partially a special episode that we are kind of changing up our timeline. We talked a little bit in a week from now about recession and what that means, but there's been some interesting things happening, and we're recording this on Tuesday, July 26th, and I believe this will be aired around the time that the White House releases some information on if we're in a recession or not. but we wanted to get this out a little bit quicker because of this reason. So Matt, can you refresh us on what we've already talked about, but the listeners have yet to hear about recession? And
maybe we'll have to reschedule that. So basically, kind of a commonly like rule of thumb is that two quarters of negative GDP signal a recession. And that's been true for 10 of the last 10 recessions. This is kind of a weird time, though, where unemployment is technically falling, it did in Q1, but GDP is also falling too. So a lot of this has been attributed to the fact that there were 10 million plus job openings. And even though there's companies laying off or scaling back their hiring plans, that there just wasn't enough labor capacity in the market to fill these jobs in the first place. So you have kind of two sides, one saying, you know, two quarters negative GDP from a, we're talking about a political sense. Let's say that's the Republicans or the, you know, the people that have this rule of thumb. And, you know, it's been my opinion for a while that the Q2 GDP print is going to be worse than Q1. And it's also going to be negative. So from that sense, we've entered what many people, or I would say most people, consider a recession. The economists don't necessarily say that. And the National Bureau of Economic Advisors, or NBER, so researchers, I don't know what it is exactly, but out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, is the one that makes the official government call on this. For instance, when we went through the early days of COVID, there was a first and second quarter recession that happened in there. I think it took the NBER to the end of first quarter 2021, so basically a year later, to actually announce that we were in an official recession. So you've seen politically the Biden administration, their Council of Economic Advisors posted a blog post the other day, basically saying that this is a nuanced thing. It's not what you think it is. And, you know, I think you kind of have this dislocation between a lot of people are going to think that it's recession, and a lot of people feel that it's recession. And when people feel like it's a recession, that oftentimes causes a recession or accentuates it. So, you know, our economy is really based on consumption and feelings of the future on where it goes. And then on the other side, you have the current administration that doesn't want to be thought of this being a recession. And, you know, I think both of us have heard multiple times how they have said that this is the strongest economy in history, which basically goes, or maybe the strongest recovery in history, but basically I'd say skews the time that we're in and a lot of the data that's come out. So it's, if you kind of incorporate the inflation factors too, it's been pretty brutal. So on top of that too, we have the yield curves curve has inverted, and that's a historical measure of the bond market, where the bond market indicates a recession. So when the 2-year treasury yield becomes higher than the 10-year treasury yield, then that's typically when people, or that's when people say that the T-bill market has an inverted yield curve. And that's indicated a recession in 1991, 2002, 2008, and 2020. So it's, you know, the traditional signs of there are there of kind of, you know, financial market makers and stuff that were in a recession. You have the GDP going down. You know, it's kind of an uneven thing, but with inflation and everything else, it's not necessarily a great time in the economy. And I think it's very bifurcated between if you're, you know, in those in-demand job groups, that there's a lot of jobs available. So if you're a data scientist, for instance, you're in high demand or have tech skills, but in certain areas of the economy now too, it's kind of rough to get a job. So it's, I mean, there's a lot of factors going in there. You know, the housing market's kind of cracked a little bit too. So
yeah, one of the articles that you shared from CoBiz Magazine or CoBizMag.com, it talks about, it's assuming that we're kind of already in a recession, not the recession's coming. And it says that the Federal Reserve will eventually have to cut interest rates, but when it cuts interest rates, or it needs to also raise interest rates to be able to kill inflation, slow down the economy, and cause higher unemployment, which will lead to cutting rates again. So it's kind of like this vicious cycle that if it cuts the rates, it solves a couple problems, but it causes other
Elizabeth
problems.
Elizabeth Warren increases wrote the rates, an op-ed.
It causes other issues.
I think it was Washington Post. That might have been the Wall
Street. Definitely scary.
might have either been the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, or New York Times. I don't remember what I read it in. She's the senator from Massachusetts and former head of the Consumer Protection Financial Bureau. She basically recently was asking Chairman Powell, the Federal Reserve, about questions about, you know, the economy during hearings and whether or not he expected raising rates to really make it a dent on food, housing prices, or energy prices. And he said no. So I think a lot of the criticism with that is if you can't solve the structural issues with where inflation's coming from, why are you raising rates in a way that you're essentially trying to essentially create a job loss in a recession? Because essentially that's what they're doing. They're trying to cut out the demand, hoping that that's going to normalize things. But it's, you know, the inflation's already there. If they don't see that being affected by their policies, it's kind of like, you know, there's that feeling there. Why are you doing it? Why are you pushing us into a recession that might lead to massive job loss that you don't necessarily have good control over? So it's interesting times. So the Federal Reserve this week too is expected to raise rates by another 75 basis points, so 0.75%. And granted, that doesn't, there's this thing called the monetary transmission mechanism. And when the Federal Reserve uses their normal kind of open market operations, raising or lowering interest rates, rather than basically going out and actually buying bonds in the bond market or selling bonds under the bond market, the interest rates typically lag over a year, where really it kind of flows down from the banks into the real economy. So from an operational sense, it's not happening yet,
right?
But typically banks and traders and stuff like that, the announcement of it is kind of like more of a linguistic exercise that changes their behavior in the near term before, you know, the actual functional effects to banking and markets really flow down through the economy. So it's interesting. Like I've talked about from the traditional sense, which most people think about as a recession, two negative quarters of GDP. You know, it's been my belief that we're in that scenario, but it's really kind of uncertain what that's going to lead to a economy or like a sort of economic conditions. I think a lot of people think that the Fed is going to perhaps overcorrect now and then start lowering rates in October towards the end of the year.
If you would like to learn more about the New Next podcast, find us at thenewnextpodcast.com, where you can suggest a topic you would like for us to cover. If you enjoyed what you heard, share the podcast, tell a friend about it, or rate us with 5 stars.